All right, well, good morning. It seems like just the other day I went to see my grandson and my son and daughter-in-law. But of course we know who the main reason was, that Alicia and I went to Kansas. But we saw our grandson, that was in March, and that seems like yesterday, but we are in June. Now today we're going to talk about standing on the liberty of Jesus. And when I think of liberty, I think of freedom. And when I think of freedom, I think of two things that keep going through my brain. One is Braveheart.
Freedom!
Yes. The other one is freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. You know, by Janis Joplin, but freedom is something that's important to us, especially as America. Freedom is something that we cherish. I just finished reading a series on the Civil War, and one of the things that in that book Lincoln and Grant talked about was that we had to preserve freedom for everyone. And so freedom is important to us as Americans, but freedom is important to us as Christians as well. But what happens to Mel Gibson right after he yells, freedom?
He dies.
He dies.
Yeah.
And what did the great theologian Janis Joplin say? She said, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
Thought it was, oh Lord, why don't you buy me a Mercedes?
There you go. No, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. But freedom cost. We just came through Memorial Day, and we remember those soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines who have laid down their lives. But isn't there a saying in the scripture that if we have freedom in Christ, then we are free indeed? And what happened to Christ to get that freedom? Well, we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And we're going to be seeing Paul continue to talk to the Galatians. And he's continuing to talk to them about people who want to put restrictions on them, that want to tie them to the law. And he's going to say that true freedom, the only true freedom, comes through the Gospels. It comes through being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you're able, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, reading to verse 12. Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey even every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. The false teaching is like a little yeast that spread through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teaching. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray that every word out of my mouth be yours. Beginning with me, give me the ears to hear and the heart to put into practice. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and all God's children said, amen. You may be seated. Now, We didn't really need to read till verse 12, but you know, I just like that. I just like where Paul says, you know, if they want to do this, I wish they'd just go do it to themselves. But Paul is talking about something that we don't care about on June 1st, 2025. I mean, we really don't. We don't care if someone is circumcised or someone's uncircumcised. We don't seek to make that a part of being in the fellowship. That is something outside of us. Now, maybe with the synagogue, that might be different. But in, I would say, 99.9% of Christian churches, they could care less. This scripture is set in time, but it is timeless. Let's get that again. This scripture verse is set in time. It is important to the Galatians. The talk of circumcision, the talk of being tied to the law, is important to the Galatians. It's not important to us. It does not affect us, but it is timeless because he's saying, what have you made yourselves slaves to? He's saying, traditions are good if you understand what they mean. If traditions bring you closer to God, then they're okay. But if you're just doing it because, that phrase drives me nuts, fingers on the chalkboard, if you're doing it just because that's the way you've always done it, then it has no meaning and it ties you up and it changes you down. So let's talk a little about the Galatians, then we'll get into the so what. So let's talk about where this scripture is in time. Again, it's to the church in Ephesus. No, that's not TBI, I'm goofing around. It's to the Galatians. They are a young church. They are new believers. They are seeking to follow Christ. They've heard about Paul. Paul has sent them word. Paul has preached to them. Paul has brought, well, I don't like the word Paul has brought many to Jesus Christ, but Christ has used Paul so that many would become saved. Now, here's the thing with the new Christian. They're on fire. You know, because they can remember what Christ did for them. They can remember where they were. And so they're on fire. And one of the things I love about new Christians is they can't get enough. You know, they want literature. They want this. They want that. They wear the cool t-shirts. You know? I mean, it's just, it's really, really fun. And that's what I believe is happening with the Galatians. Now, they're probably not wearing the cool t-shirts because, well, t-shirts don't exist. But, you know, they're wearing the cool togas and they're doing all that fun stuff. And I think they're really into all the letters that they can get from Paul. And they're into hearing about God. Well, here's something else sometimes about new Christians is it's hard to be discerning. Especially if there are no roots. If you weren't raised in the church and you're a new Christian, sometimes they can listen to people that aren't the best for them to listen to. They call themselves Christians that say they have the best, but they just want them to follow a bunch of rules. And that's what's happening. Now there's other individuals, other Christians, I believe, that are Jewish, just like Paul, but they're saying, no, you have to go back to the beginning. You have to go back to the laws of Moses. You have to go back. Well, okay, the Ten Commandments, those are good. Those are good for us to follow. But there's this book. We talked about it last week. If you're having a hard time going to sleep, take your little phone, go to your little Bible app, and hit Leviticus. You'll be asleep in no time.
Yeah.
There are a lot of laws, there's a lot of regulations, and then, if that wasn't enough, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, they got together and they made even more rules. Hey, remember, didn't God say that we shouldn't work on the Sabbath?
Yeah,
he did. Keep the Sabbath holy. Okay, now, did he dissect that for us? Did he diagram the sentence? Did he break it down on what we should and shouldn't do? I mean, he says, you know, that we shouldn't do any work, our servants shouldn't do any work, our donkeys shouldn't do any work. But do you know that by the time Jesus came into the world, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had taken that to such a minute level that if you were sitting in a chair on the Sabbath on a dirt floor, well, check, that was probably most of them. If you're sitting there and you push your chair back to get up and it leaves a mark in the dust, you have just plowed and you have just broke the Sabbath.
Wow.
That's a law. That's a rule. That is not a God rule. That is a people rule, and that's what Paul's saying. No, you're trying to put on the shackles of humanity. See, we're good at making rules. We want people to look like us. We want people to act like us. How many of you watched Sesame Street in the 70s and the 80s? Remember? There was a little segment on there. And they would have these little Brady Bunch boxes, is what I call them, you know. They had these little boxes, and these kids were doing their thing and everything. And it said, one of these kids is not like the other. And you had to figure out which one it was. Well, this, he or she, was not conforming to what everybody else was doing. Perhaps everybody else was hula hooping. And they had a child like me that has no rhythm and no balance. And this poor kid couldn't hula hoop, you know, perhaps. But we don't always like to stand out. And so they're saying, okay, we'll follow these rules. But Paul said, no, you're chaining yourself up. You say you want freedom. You say that you believe that you've been set free. You were on fire. You were following God. You were blocking the world out. You were listening to what God had to say. But now you're listening to these other voices, these other influences. Boy, I'm so glad. This is like take off your glasses time. I am so glad that we don't have other voices in our lives nowadays. I mean, we're not like the ancient folks that had people having their own ideas and people saying, well, if you're truly a Christian or if you're a true son of Abraham, then this is how you look and act. I'm so glad we don't have anybody like that today. You know, I'm so glad that, oh wait, that's not TBI. That's being facetious. Because we do have all kinds of other voices. And we have to make sure who we're listening to. And that's what Paul is telling the Galatians. He's saying, and remember we talked about last week, if even an angel brings you a different gospel than what has been preached, don't listen. You know? And so he's saying, know who you're listening to. Listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the word of God. Listen to what God has for you. If you want to judge yourself up against something, do it against God. Say, okay, how does he see me? Am I doing what he wants me to do? And he's saying, if we want true freedom, we have to come and die. We have to die to ourselves and follow only God. Because it is so easy as human beings. We love freedom. We talk about freedom. We love this little day called July 4th. Remember, I told you in April, I think it was the 19th, it was 250 years since the shot heard around the world was fired at Lexington and Concord that started the American Revolution. We love this idea of freedom, but freedom only comes by dying out to ourselves, because we have a tendency as humans to chain ourselves to something. It is June 1st, 2025. I don't see anybody, I don't think of any church that comes in with this part of the scripture and the circumcision and says, look, you must be circumcised to be part of us. I don't think so. Again, like I said, perhaps synagogues, that's different. But I don't see this happening. That part's in time. But Paul's message about us chaining ourselves, that's universal. That's timeless. Our idea that we could give ourselves over to traditions and chain ourselves to that instead of paying attention to God, that's timeless. That's universal. Our idea that we have influences of people who are going to say, if you're a true Christian, you look like this. We've heard it, right? Well, if you're a Christian, you wouldn't X, you wouldn't Y, you wouldn't Z. Now, I'm going to throw out a name, and I expect a couple hands. I might get one from Jenny. Thank you. I don't know how many of you I'm going to get a hand from. I know I'll get one from Alicia. How many of you know the name Jelly Roll? Oh!
Yes.
You all just shocked me. Okay, Jelly Roll. Now, Jelly Roll is an artist. He's a singer. And if you haven't heard his and what's
Brandon
the other guy?
Brandon Lee.
Yeah. Doing Hard-Fought Hallelujah, you need to listen to that song. Jelly Roll was an addict. He was addicted, I know, to alcohol. I believe drugs as well. He had a very, very hard life, but he's given his life to Christ. And he talks about how he still has struggles. Now, Jelly Roll looks unique.
Yes, he does.
He looks unique. You can look at this young man and you can tell he's had a rough life.
He looks younger than he is.
Yeah.
He looks older than
he is. Older than he is, yeah. And you can look at his face and he has tattoos. Well, your pastor has tattoos. You may or may not see them right now. But you would see Jelly Rolls if he came in, or if I put him up on screen. You would see a hard life in his face, but you would also see glory. But Jelly Roll is mentioned, and I wish I knew the young man's real name.
Jason D4.
Yeah, Jason. We'll just say Jason Jelly Roll. There you go. So Jason, he was giving his testimony. And he's talked about where he's come and how he's sober and how he's overcoming. But he says, you know, I still struggle with some things. I still struggle occasionally, he says, with alcohol. I still struggle with this. But God is delivering me. God is moving in my life. God is convicting me and I'm giving it over to him. Well, there's some that would say, well, are you really there yet if you're still struggling with this stuff? Yes!
Yes.
You're starting the road. See, Christianity, and Paul is pointing to this, it's a road. It's a journey. So we can't say we can't judge a Christian by how they look. We can't look at an individual. I remember I was at a church meeting with other pastors. And the pastors were talking about this church that had just hired this young man that had tattoos. We would never do that. We would never fellowship. True story. We would never fellowship with somebody who called themselves a pastor and had tattoos. Now again, this person got them in their past. And I just politely took off my outer shirt, and I said, but you've been fellowshipping with me for the last couple of years. We can't look and say, that's what a Christian looks like. We can't say, okay, they're in a suit, they're in a tie, that's a Christian. They're homeless, they're a bum, they're not a Christian. Well, how many of you know any politicians? Leave it there. Paul's saying we can't set standards on what there is, what it is to be a Christian, unless it's God's standards. Yes. Unless it's God's standards. Of course, God's standard to be a Christian is what? Accept Christ as our personal Savior. God's criteria is that we are ridding ourselves of sin, that we are walking into holiness. That's what Paul's saying. Those are good. That's what we want to do. We want to look at our life on June 1st, 2025, and say, this is where my life was. Now, this is a new Christian, and this is a Christian who's been a Christian for 100 years. And say, this is my life. And then in June 1st, 2050, if we're still around, we want to look and we want to say, that was our life then, but I am now over here with Christ. He has brought me out. He has moved me closer to Him. And that's what Paul's saying. We have to guide, we have to gauge ourselves against God's criteria, not man's criteria.
Yes.
Because man's criteria will always fall short. Is God concerned about sin? Yes, He is. Does God love us and accept us where we are? Yes, He does. But He loves us too much to leave us there.
Yeah.
And so He moves us. And He deals with us.
Praise God.
We can make all the standards that we want to. I remember my mother being asked to step down as Sunday school superintendent or children's director. Children's director. And the reason being was she had let her children go to the theater to see Snow White. Okay? Yes, Disney Snow White. It's G. Hey, it's in the manual at that time. Mm-hmm. Not supposed to do this. It's against the law. Oh, wait, no. It's not against the law. But the individual that was making the fuss was letting her children watch R-rated movies, but they were getting them at the video store and watching them in the house. How many... I don't know what it was like here, but I remember in the 80s, skating parties, roller skating was a big thing. Mm-hmm. It used to be in the manual that we don't do that. How many of you are going to go swimming, perhaps, this summer? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go to the pool, go to the lake. Do you know when my grandparents came into the church, you couldn't do mixed bathing. Mm-hmm. And if they were out at the lake with my grandmother and my sister and another family got in there and they had a boy, they had to leave. Okay. I'm not bashing our manual. I'm not bashing those things. But what I'm saying, what matters is how God sees this.
Amen.
Is it maybe mixed bathing, to use the word from the 40s or 50s, is that a temptation? Then okay, I get it. Then don't go. You know, is it that you were like my grandmother who loved the movies and loved going to the theater and would spend like more than you had to spend on movies? Now remember, when she felt convicted of this, it was the 50s, so she's paying what, 10 cents to go see a movie? You know, but what I mean is she was spending the money that was supposed to be grocery money on this. Okay, is that maybe a hindrance for her? Is that even maybe a sin because she's taking money from her family? Possibly. And there are those individual convictions, but we can't put those on everyone, is what Paul is saying. Now, to be a Christian, you have to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Check, that's from the Father. You have to be moving closer to God. Check, that's from the Father. You have to be seeking God. You have to be listening to the Holy Spirit. You have to be forming, conforming, and transforming. Check. That's from the Father. We can follow it. But there's a lot of other things that don't matter. So, what does a Christian look like? Well, look to your right. Look to your left. Oops, sorry, Dan. That didn't work for you. Oh, it doesn't work for you guys either. All right, so look to your left. That's what a Christian looks like. If you were not the one that raised your hand about Jelly Roll, Google him today. That's what a Christian looks like. So what matters is what God says, not what man says. Because, well, let's close with Mrs. Burns. Remember, she decided to make a rule at recess that if you walked behind this chair, her second graders, if you walked behind this chair, it was automatic detention. Now you got little boys. And you have little girls, but mainly the little boys that are just, we've done our spelling lessons, we've done our 1 + 1 = 5, we've done, oh maybe that's wrong, we've done all that and it's time to get out and play, and right behind that chair, that's automatic detention, Travis. We like to make rules. What we have to do is we have to be what Paul is saying. Be true to the scriptures. If you want to look at rules, be true to the scriptures. Be true to what God says. And don't interpret it to fit your situation.
Amen.
Or don't use this as a club to beat somebody over the head with.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we just praise you for who you are. We praise you for whose we are, that we are children of the King. Father, just be with us as we go about our week. We thank you, we praise you, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Long-winded preacher.